Hey guys, good to talk with you guys, and it's no sweat off my back for the lunch. You guys looked hungry. I was glad to support you guys. So I'm going to teach you guys how to revolutionize your marketing using AI. Who's ready to hear that? Yes or yes?
Yes.
All right. So you guys might have known ChatGPT came out in November of 2022, and it reached 1 million users in 5 days, which is the fastest growing app ever. It only took 2 months to get 100 million actual users. And to put that in perspective, it took Instagram 2.5 years, and it took TikTok 9 months to reach 100 million. So it broke a lot of records, obviously a very important technology. So we actually put this presentation together because you have two choices right now. You can either wait until it's too late or embrace it before you're forced to do it. And so if you guys are in this room, I think you guys have chosen to be proactive and embrace it so you get the advantage, right? So I've been in the real estate space about 8 years now, and one thing I've observed is that what works well goes in cycles. For example, direct mail may be really, really working very well, so we all go to our conferences and we talk about how well direct mail's working. And then something brand new comes out, and it's gonna be like pay-per-click. Everybody's talking about how well pay-per-click works. We all go to our conferences, we talk about how well it works, and people start to get on board that over the next 18 months until that doesn't work quite as well anymore because a lot of people are around. And then every once in a while, a brand new thing comes through, like 2 years ago when text message marketing came out with a tool that got around the law of being able to do that legally and allowed investors to click and send mass texts without being robotic, right? So it got around that law that says you can't send robotic text unsolicited because you're pressing the individual button. And so that came out, and then that thing grew like gangbusters, and people were using that, getting the best ROI on their marketing to get the very best deals. And now 18 months later, after everyone did that, it's no longer working quite as well. And so things go in cycles. Now direct mail might be better again. So this is one of those brand new things that's come out that if you can hop on board with it, you'll get an advantage before it gets too saturated because everyone's doing it, and then maybe it doesn't work quite as well. So I'm here to tell you guys about how AI is that thing that you guys can jump on board with and get an advantage before everyone starts using it. So our belief at Deal Machine, and we've been around 8 years as well, and I got started with the app kind of selfishly just making a solution for myself to help drive for dollars. Look for a rundown house, write it down, send mail. That's what everyone was being told. I was like, man, there should be an app for this because it's kind of hard to keep track of all that. So made the app, other people used it, we grew. And then what I realized is we've evolved more and grown, you know, 40% this year just from the data that we've been able to provide on homeowners included in your subscription, as well as offering the ability to make those calls. So from our standpoint, we've evolved. And now with the AI, our belief is that you could use ChatGPT or you could use it inside of a specific platform like Deal Machine or some of your other tools that you might be using. And the one inside the platform has a lot of advantages because it has access to your data that's inside the platform. Or in our case, it has access to all the property records that the normal ChatGPT does not have access to. So that's why we believe using the specific AIs inside of platforms like Deal Machine or your other tools has those advantages. So it's only as good as the data that it can leverage, for example. And now we've entered this time where the AI cannot access all the data. It doesn't have the license to do that unless it's in a specific platform. So that's why AI is something that's advantageous to use in the platform. So let me show you guys how to use it. I'm going to give you guys 10 ways that you can incorporate AI. So if you're actually writing stuff down, this would be number one. So the very first thing is when you're in front of a property or you're at home, you can have a chat AI inside of the Deal Machine app. It's just like ChatGPT. In fact, it's powered by that. But the advantage is it has access to the property data. So the first thing you guys could do is say, hey, I'm thinking about this deal. Can you analyze it for wholesale? And you've got specific buttons that you could click. So analyze the deal is the first one, and then wholesaling is the second button. So you don't have to type anything out. It's very quick, and it knows, well, a lot of information about the property. In this case, it's saying the estimated loan balance is $38,000, and the ARV is, it's not mentioning it here, but it knows that too, and it's going to calculate the maximum allowable offer, you know, minus the loan balance is 209. And so they're saying that's actually going to be, the 209 is going to be the maximum allowable offer. Excuse me, the 248 was the ARV. So it can help you do those things on the fly. Or if you're just starting out, how many people have done at least one deal? If you guys would raise your hand. Okay, cool. So more advanced here in the room. Fantastic. So I've done 19 deals myself, and I always kind of do this as a first check just to make sure this is actually going to verify what I'm thinking. It's close, and I could see its thought process. So number two is the AI-based estimated values. So you can see estimated value right here kind of reminds you of a Zestimate. And we all know the Zestimate's not that accurate, right? But it does tell you something. It does give you a benchmark on, is this in the ballpark of what I thought the property was worth? Would any of you guys agree you look at the Zestimate in that type of perspective? You just give me a head nod. That'd be great. Okay, seeing some head nods and even a hand raise in the back. Appreciate it. So the difference, this is just like a Zestimate, except for you can now filter by it. So let me give you an example. I like to do the Burr strategy. I had a hell of a deal this year where I made $125,000. And I found it because the ARV was worth $425,000. So if I'm searching Indianapolis where I want to invest, I don't want to mess with properties that have an estimated value of less than like $200,000, $250,000 because it wouldn't allow me to make that type of big profit margin. So I'm able to search by the Zestimates of the area, say, hey, let me look and filter properties that could be worth $425,000. And that would give me the ballpark range of that type of deal where I'm able to make $100,000 because that's only a quarter of the value of the property. So that's an advantage to these AI estimates because you can filter by them inside the app. So that's number two. Here comes number three. You can actually, let's say you pull the tax delinquent list from your county, or let's say there's some list that you just can't get inside of a platform like Deal Machine. For example, the most up-to-date list of landlords who have not cut their grass, right? It's a niche list. Let's say you get that, and you want to go by every single one of those properties and knock on the door. See if you can get a hold of the tenant, be like, hey, is your landlord doing okay? Like, can you maybe put me in touch with him? Let's say you want to drive by all those properties. So you could plug that list into Deal Machine once you pull it from your county, and it will guide you along the very best route to visit every single one of those properties. And not only that, again, let's say you know as a real estate investor, we make the best deals from properties that have a lot of repairs needed. That's been my case for sure. And so you could actually filter by the repair estimate, which is also generated by AI. So it can look at a lot of different factors, including the satellite image, the street view image, and as well as the county inspector's building condition, for example. So it could put those together and give you a repair estimate based on past properties that have had those repairs. So you could not only view, maybe it's not worth your time to go by every house that has tall grass, but maybe only ones that the AI thinks has a high repair estimate. So that would be part of number three. Things that you could do with AI for your lead generation. And then this is just to show if they're not home, you could leave a door hanger just like this. And those are actually provided by Ballpoint Marketing with like a handwritten note, right? So you could write those yourself. You could buy those through Deal Machine. Or I even talked to somebody today who had a stamp made on Etsy that said, I have a question about your property, call me, with this phone number. And it looked just like his handwriting, and it was a stamp. So he took a pad of sticky notes, and he stamped. And so then that the AI could help you put those on the most likely houses that are willing to sell. Because that's what we're all about, is giving you the data and the tools so that you guys can make the best use of your time to take advantage and get more deals from the smallest amount of time spent. So number four would be AI-assisted note-taking and call summaries. So how many of you guys in here actually cold call? Just curious. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So maybe roughly 10 in here out of 50. So 1 out of 5. If you guys know, the worst part about, the best thing is when somebody calls you back and you've got notes about your past conversation, right? That thing makes it smooth, helps you build rapport, helps that conversation get to a deal faster. The worst thing is spending time to actually take notes while you're on the phone. It's distracting, or maybe when you hang up, it actually takes more time, and you then also just kind of forget some details maybe. So the AI if you call through Deal Machine, came out with this in July. I was really proud of this because you hear a lot of like AI talk and you're like, oh man, that's kind of a marketing term now. And it's like, is it AI or is it just like a bunch of if-else statements? This thing actually listens to your call and then it will summarize what happened and leave it as a note inside your application for you. So you could really tell like, yeah, look, this is AI, just listen to me and summarize what I said. So it puts that in there, saves you guys time and helps you guys smoothly take calls back and remember who that was, what you talked about in the first place.
It's taking notes on both sides of the conversation.
Yeah, so great question. So yes, when you call through the platform, it listens to the seller and you. It'll record the whole transcript, but that can be lengthy sometimes. So it will also summarize that into like two sentences or three sentences and leave that as a note so you could quickly see what happened. That I could show you guys later if you want once we get through this and if you want a little demo of that. Love it. Yeah. What's up?
It works really well.
Thank you. Yes. Oh yeah, so he uses it, and Susan asks, what are the issues around recording? And so we actually have blog posts about the specific laws that apply to cold calling that you could check out, but essentially pretty much every state requires at least one party to have knowledge that that's happening, and so if you're the one making the calls, you're the one who has that knowledge. It's typically a state-by-state basis, but essentially that's the short of it, if the AI were to summarize the laws. That's awesome. Thank you for saying that. Lee's very successful, and he also, I'm sorry, I just brain farted. But yeah, if he's recommending it, it's good. Thanks for saying that. I appreciate you, Lee. Thanks for speaking up. So there's another thing on here too, which is real-time guidance. So this could be good if you have somebody making calls for you, or if sometimes you have a brain fart, like I just did 20 seconds ago. You could press what should I say, and the AI is able to understand what has been talked about so far, and it knows where you want to go, just setting an appointment. So it'll tell you what you should say if you just forget. And if you're training and you're nervous that you might not know, if somebody on your team's training and they might not know what to say, this can help give them confidence, we found, because they could press what do I say at any point. While that call is going on, it's going to tell you, oh, the next thing you should say is this, and give it to you right then. Yes. Yeah, so behind the scenes, we're actually using ChatGPT, right? So we use that, but again, it knows the property information because it's being used through Deal Machine, and then of course, it knows, it's like, it's part of the transcript, right? So when you press what do I say, it sends the transcript of exactly how far you are in the combo so far and brings it right back. Yeah. ChatGPT is definitely still one of the leading ones. And that actually brings me to ask, I think I blew by the part where I wanted to ask you guys, was, is anybody using AI in their business significantly currently? What are some of the ways that you do that?
So I use it to create content. I use it to put
create content.
Keywords into my articles.
Keywords in your articles for SEO?
I use it to do research.
Research. That's awesome. How do you make it a part of your day instead of just going to Google like we're so used to doing?
So I have specific tasks that I do.
Specific tasks?
Business,
yep.
So as a result of doing those specific tasks, I know which of those I can go use AI to help me get through. And
yeah. So you have like a check, like literally have a checklist, and so you write, oh, use ChatGPT for this. Nice.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that. What was your name?
Michael.
Thank you for sharing that, and great job.
And
Michael's always very successful. This is a great pump-up woman. I love it. No, we just met. Anyone else have any AI uses significantly in their business?
I would have a question.
Yes.
Can you have your AI do it inside of a Zoom? Say you're doing a Zoom call with a person, and could it still like record it and all that?
Yeah, so actually I'm seeing a lot of AI note takers that will join a Zoom. You can sign up and have them attached to your Zoom account, and then it will join the Zoom call, and then it can listen to that Zoom call and summarize what happened for you. I'm seeing those a lot. So we don't have that built into like Yield Machine or anything like that, but I'm seeing those every day on even like some of the Zoom calls that I'm doing. Yes, question?
No, it's another application.
Yes, another application.
So after my call sessions every day, I do use ChatGPT quite a bit, and I also use Yield Machine. And what I've done is I've set it up so that it has my whole plan of action within it, and it remembers it as part of the memory. After I finish a call session for the day, I take the stats that Yield Machine gives me, and I put them in the ChatGPT, and it tells me how I'm doing in relationship to my goals.
So you put in your goals to ChatGPT, and then you're saying you copy-paste your results from dialing.
Well, actually, I don't copy-paste. What I do is I say stat time, and ChatGPT asks me each of the stats that you give me at the end of the call session.
Oh, amazing.
How many dials did you make? I tell it. How many connections did you make?
How many connections? How many dials? Correct. And so ChatGPT, like, let me just see if this is what you mean. So from what I've seen, people make, 30,000 calls per day with this since we launched it in July.
I don't do that many, but somebody.
No, collectively. So what I'm seeing is then when somebody, and I haven't told you guys this, but when somebody's like, yes, I want an appointment, the AI will then flip that status of your deal, right? It'll say, this person wanted an appointment. That's one of 10 statuses.
Yes.
And here, this is actually the next slide. So there's like 10 boxes down here. No answer, left voicemail, disconnected, wrong number, wrong contact, not interested, unqualified, warm lead, hot lead, appointment set.
Right.
So if they're disconnected, that's not going to show back up on your actual follow-ups, right? So you won't waste the time dialing that. But for what you were saying was, and what I was saying, we could see that it takes about 200 conversations, people who pick up and actually talk with you, in order to find one deal, okay?
Right.
And now you typically will have 6 conversations in 1 hour of calling. And so if you do the math, I think it's about 33 hours of calling to get a deal is what you should strive to do, and that you may even do better than that. But you don't. The worst thing is if you only call 34 people and you give up because you think it didn't work, right? So what you're saying is you've plugged in some of those stats. You've plugged in some of those stats to ChatGPT, and then you kind of manually give it how much you've made progress on, and it tells you, because it's kind of motivating, oh, you're 24% of the way there.
Yeah.
That's
and
pretty
it,
cool.
It says something cool at the end. It says, you're right on track. You're doing
it. Oh, it gives you pumping up.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we should name that, whatever this lady's name is, because it's pumping you up.
Yeah.
What was your name? Kim. Yeah, we'd name it Chat Kim.
Yeah, Chat Kim, that's it.
Love it. So this is like 5, I think. We're on 5 of 10, if you guys are writing any of these down. Yes, you got a question?
Yeah. So I use PropStream for a real PropStream. I just would like to know what Yield Machine is. Is it a CRM, or is it the properties where we can look at apps and the owners?
Yep. Good question. Yeah, so this is all in one platform, and I'll give you a little bit of a demo of making a call as well in a second so you can see it. Oh, sorry. Yeah, so she wanted to know, like, just what is Yield Machine? She was like, is all this stuff in one platform? And it is. So it starts at, like, $119 per month. You get a 7-day trial. And so most people come to us for the data. So we have 400, pieces of fields that are on the property information, very similar to what PropStream provides. But the thing that we have that we introduced in November is we have about 200 fields on the property owners as well. So things like their credit score, their income level, what kind of car they drive, like we have all that data on the actual owners. So, and their phone numbers and emails. So people may spend like 12 cents to get that for a property, just the phone number. We have like a whole file on everyone, including their phone number, but all that other info as well, included in the subscription. So you could see how it saves you a lot of money, but it's also better because it's all there. You could filter by it instead of just looking it up one at a time.
So is that CRM?
It's like a light CRM. You can have notes. There's statuses like this on the previous slide of like no answer, left voicemail, et cetera. So it's like a light CRM. It's not like a full-blown Salesforce, but it's meant to be something lightweight.
Lightweight means all my needs are there.
All your leads are there. That's right. Yes. And I'll show you. I'll show you as well. And I think you'll be able to, if you're like me, you kind of learn. I learn when I see stuff. Love the questions. Go ahead. Yes. We'll go here, here, and there, and here. Let me, I'll repeat the question. Go ahead.
So for the postcards that we can have, you said, can, or any piece of mail, can it, first of all, A, can it be customized? And B, as part of that customization, can we have our own QR code?
Gotcha. So the question was, can it send mail? Yes. And can you customize what the mail looks like? Yes. There's 10 templates in here, but you can also upload your own or completely design something from scratch. You could put your own mail tracking phone number on there. And you, if you have one QR code you want to put on it, on all the mail, yes, you can. You could put any type of graphic that you wanted on there. So great question. Go to you in the back. Love it. We're only halfway through the AI stuff. Go ahead. Yeah. Yes. 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 Yeah, it's, I'm going to show you guys, I'll actually have random people come up and plug in their address to see if the info is correct if you want. I think that might be fun and high stakes. So you guys can really see like, oh no shit, this is pretty damn good. Yes. Well, let me come back to that in the demo time. I think that would be the best way to answer the question. If you had realtors on your team that need to go to a certain geography and look for certain properties and rip through those phone numbers and call them. So let me do this last question over here. I want to keep going, make sure you guys get all the AI stuff, and then we'll open it back up for like a demo and questions, okay? Yes. Great question. What's the quality of information for commercial properties? So we have a very good search to figure out who owns the LLC, and then you'll get the company officers and be able to call them. So I'll show you that. We could pull up some examples. I think that's just the best way to show, because everybody's like, oh, my data's so good. I just would rather just show you in a high-stakes environment, so you're like, oh, that's actually how it performs. I think that's answered your question. And on the commercial side, Yeah. And on the commercial side, I know you could filter by like, well, how many units does this have? And that might be like a residential commercial filter that you could use. But then on the ownership side, I'll show you guys how that works. All right, so number 6, AI. Back to the AI. I love all the questions. Really appreciate it. Drop AI voicemails to double your team's efficiency. So this was a really cool, very much AI, not marketing thing, because you actually train the AI to sound like you, and then when you leave a voicemail, you don't have to leave it yourself. The AI can leave the voicemail for you. So it can save you a lot of time, and I'm actually going to demonstrate that. So think about if you want to be training the AI voice. I'm going to bring someone up here in just a minute to demonstrate how that works. But I wanted to explain to you guys, when you're for the fifth of you that are cold calling and for the other fifth of you that might be thinking about it as a strategy, we all have gotten this like spam risk thing on our cell phone, right? Y'all know what that looks like. When you get that, like, do you answer the phone? No, that's right. So for a while, triple line dialers were very popular about 2 years ago, because you could call 3 people and it would hang up on the 2 that didn't answer and connect you to the person who did, right? But it's not a great experience because there's like a delay. And then also the phone companies looked at analytics from numbers and said if there's short duration calls or if there's a lot of hangups, we're going to just market as spam, because our consumers don't want these pesky sales calls, okay? So that's why the triple line dialers have really gone out of vogue, and they have just not been as successful, because they're just hanging up on everyone. The phone companies know that, so they market as spam, and they don't connect as high. So we built a single line dialer. It turns out that voicemails include the duration of the call, and they count as an answer. So the phone company is looking for average call duration of 45 seconds or more, and they're also looking for a 65% connection rate on your number. So what trip line dialer is getting 65% if they're hanging up on two of the people every single time? You could see why that actually works pretty well, the way the phone companies did that. So leaving voicemails not only gives you an opportunity to have somebody call you back who is interested, but it also helps your numbers metrics to not look like a spammer. And it doesn't cost you any extra time to do that because you trained it to sound like you, and it's also leaving it while you move on to the next call. So I was curious if somebody wanted to train the AI voicemail, actually, if we could see how that sounds close to their voice. Is there anybody who would like to do that? Yeah. So a lot of people say that women sound better on the actual call, right? So you could have your wife train the voicemail if you wanted to, rather than you. There's got to be a volunteer. Anybody want? Lee, you want to? All right, come on up. We'll get you. All right. So this is. Thank you very much. Have a seat here. I'll squat next to you. So we're gonna leave three sample voicemails. And then we'll demonstrate how it plays your voice back. Sound good? All right, so if you go into the application settings and you go into the dialer settings and you get the AI voice clone, these are my recordings. So I'm going to start over. So get rid of those trainings. We're going to retrain it to sound like Lee's voice. So let me... Okay, cool. You can hold that and then also realize that you're going to be talking into this like side of the computer. So
go to something else first. Let me write down a script.
Oh, okay. While he's doing that, we're only training it to sound like him. We're not training it what to say at this point. You can always change what it says. And the beautiful part is it'll say the owner's name that you're calling, and it'll also say their address. So every single time it leaves the AI voicemail, it's going to be customizing it to that person. I'll get to you right in just a second. I wanted to show you guys, so once you train it, you're only training it how it sounds like you, but then if you wanted to change what it said, this is a voicemail script, if you wanted to read from here, Lee, as well. This is like what the default is of what it says.
How'd you pull that? Because I tried to pull that off on mine, and I couldn't figure out how to get it.
Yeah, so it's in the dialer settings and then the AI, and you scroll down to the voicemail script. So there you go. Yes.
Just a comment for anyone who hasn't used this. So I use ChatGPT to write script. Thank you.
I use it to write scripts. So I use it to write verbal scripts. I use it to write email scripts. I use it to write sales letters. Transcripts, email, you know, pretty much everything. Add transcripts, it'll do all of it. Now, I'm not saying that after it produces it, you're super happy with it. You might want to go in and modify it or change it, but at least it gives you something to work with. If you like are sitting there staring at a blank screen, going, "What the heck am I gonna write?" It's awesome, and you can. And if you don't care for it, you can always hit the little button that says "Regenerate," and it'll come up with a new one for you.
Yep,
it is fantastic.
Do you ever have to edit it? How much you have to edit it?
It depends on what I'm doing. Okay. Sometimes it's a real light edit, and sometimes it's maybe a little bit heavier. So I was doing some content for a website the other day, and it nailed it, like 99%. I had to change one sentence.
So. Got it. Nice. So it saves you a lot of time. Yeah. Just requires you to look at it and maybe edit it.
Yeah.
Nice. A little bit. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
All right. So. Remember, it doesn't have to be perfect because we're just training it how you sound.
I'm doing this because I'm trying to get over my apprehensions. I hate being in front of people. So
I'll press start and then just speak. Try to speak over here.
Show me the.
It can't show you the script at the same time, but you just say literally anything. Like you're leaving a voicemail to a friend.
Okay.
Like you're talking to me.
There you go.
Hi, this is Lee. I know this is out of the blue. But I was wanting to see if you would be interested in renting your property. If so, would you call me or text me at 432-634-3032? Thank you.
All right, that was one. So we'll just do it two more times. Just to make sure it picks you up and not the person over there, do you mind leaning forward into the computer just because that's the mic that's going to pick up the training? So we'll do it one more time.
Hi, this is Lee Richter, and I was wanting to see if you were interested in renting your house out for your property. My name is, my number is 432-634-3032. Would you text me or call me? Thank you.
Very nice. I would definitely call you. We got, so two, I like to do three just so gets as much training data as possible. Here you go.
Hi, this is Lee Richter. I know this is out of the blue, but I was wondering to see if you would be against renting me your property, and if so, would you give me a text at or call me at 432-634-3032? If you could call me either way, that way I could take you off my list. Thank you.
Very nice. And you had the little opt-out in there option as well, which is good to keep everyone compliant. So now that it's saved, let me grab the mic. And it's when I play the sample, this is my account, so it's going to say David. So don't be surprised by that, but it should sound like Lee. Let's see how good it did.
Hello, my name is David. I know this call is completely out of the blue. I was calling about your home at 123 Maple Avenue. Wanted to see if you would consider an offer on your property.
Sounds pretty close. That's pretty
completely
good.
Understand if you have no interest right now, but if you can give me a call back either way so I don't keep bugging you. My number
great,
is 314-401-677.
That's my number.
Talk to you soon.
So
you no longer want to receive
everybody money. Give Lee a round of applause. So you could tell, like, his normal cadence was including some pauses. So it kind of replicates, again, like, how he sounds. So it sounds just like him. It saves him time. You can leave voicemails just like he would. And then when the person calls back, it'll be a seamless experience. So really awesome job. Thanks for demonstrating that. That was super fun. Correct. Exactly. So let me... He said you could leave voicemails on the do not call list as well. So it's just like a nuance. We had the ability to leave AI voicemails on every list. We took it away for the do not call list. We're going to bring it back.
I was going to ask that question.
Nice. So that's actually a really good transition into this. So when we came out with the dialer in July, we noticed there was a lot of people that didn't have clarity on the do not call list. And so brief summary is in the 90s, the government came out with the Telephone Communications Act and the it's TCPA. I'm sure we've all heard of what the TCPA is, right? They came out with a national do not call list so that people could opt into that list and not get sales calls. So the case law for investors has proven the courts do not interpret making an offer on their property a sales call. Now, on the agent side, Keller Williams has got in trouble, right? They had a $40 million settlement this past year, actually, for making calls that were actual sales calls. How they got in trouble was saying, hey, I was wondering, I noticed your listing expired. I'm a real estate agent, and I'd love to talk with you about relisting your property again. So that is a sales call because the real estate agent is offering a service. They're selling their service to help list their house. So you can't make those phone calls to the TCPA. And remember how I said the AI was like leaving notes for you and stuff? So we also designed it so that it would help you stay compliant. And it's listening for, are you offering or selling something to the do not call list, right? So as investors, we can call the DNC list, but if you're selling landscaping, water heaters, roofing, or real estate agent services, you can't. And so if you do, it would flag me, and then I would call the person who's using it and say, hey, you might not have known this, but you can't make these types of calls on the DNC list. And this one particular, it was like the first person I ever called. And he was like, I was like, hey, man, somebody was actually saying their house looked like a shitbox. Somebody on your team called a property owner and said, I'm asking about your shitbox property. So I got the flag, and I was like, dude, that was to the do not call list. So if you found somebody who's on the do not call list and you were so aggressive like that, it might motivate them to try to find a way to like get you in trouble, right? So I wanted to give you a heads up about that. And he's like, dude, who on my team would ever say anything like that? And I showed him the transcript, and sure enough, he's like, oh my God, I've got to fire whoever this was. And it turned out it was his brother. I kid you not, it's literally what happened. So I've probably only made like 12 of these types of calls, and I would say like 9 out of 10 people are like, dang, I had no idea somebody on my team was making these kind of calls. Like, thanks for letting me know so that we could stay safe and compliant. And so, yeah, that's actually something that I didn't really know. We built that so we could keep ourselves safe, able to continue to provide a dialer, right? Because we're responsible for the traffic as well that's going on. But the teams really appreciated this, and I was very surprised by that. So I thought I'd make a slide to say, like, hey, that's a feature. If you guys have other people calling on your company's behalf, that this can give you guys confidence that that those calls are being made in a compliant, safe way. So, one final pro tip, and this will kind of get us into some of your questions about commercial real estate, et cetera, so we can have fun once we get through these slides. I wanted to tell you guys, so how many of you guys skip trace in here? Probably the same fifth that make calls, right? So, there's a lot of people that wish they had higher skip tracing result, right? You already mentioned it in the back here. Sir, I forget your name, but thank you for that. So I know we all want that. So you might be shocked to learn that like 33% of data has no match. So why is skip tracing so accurate? Well, one thing I realized was I bought my properties when I lived in Indianapolis, and then I used like, first of all, the house hacking strategy. So I bought it and I lived there, and then I moved into another house, turned that into a full-time rental, right? And then I did that again, and then now I live in a whole nother state. It never, ever would have crossed my mind to go to the county website and change what my tax mailing address is for all my rental properties. I don't even need to do that, first of all, because they're just electronically paid by the mortgage company, right? So one reason why skip tracing data is inaccurate is because it's matching based on the owner's current address and the property's mailing address. So if you are like me and every other landlord that might move, like you don't go change your tax address. That's one reason why it's so inaccurate. So one way to do it is manually. This is Uncle Carl. He's got great content. This is a 20-step process he uses to dig deeper on leads that most people actually forget or don't have time to investigate, and he'll find like the best assignment fees, $100,000 assignment fees. He's willing to do the work that most people aren't. Another great example of this is if you send direct mail and you get return mail, 9 out of 10 people get pissed off. They're like, God damn it, this mail, this wasn't accurate. I paid for this mail to go out and it didn't make it to the owner. Probably for the same reason I just told you, people don't change their address, right? But if you treat that as a gift and you dig deeper and you do this 20-step flowchart on the returned mail, you think you guys will find deals that other people just walk away from because they're a little bit lazy? Or maybe they're just not mentally thinking about it in the right way? So that's another option. But we created some new technology to help, and you guys might have missed it because the unique thing is you're typically paying 15 cents to go get the phone number, right? And for a software like ours, they're passing that through to some other provider and they're charging, you know, 10 cents to go get that one-time hit on who is the information. But we have a file in our database of every person in the country, all 300 million residents. So you can press this magnifying glass and it'll actually show you everyone with the owner's name in the whole country. Now, we try to order it based on who we think is the right person. This property is Lake Forest Drive, Belton, Texas. So there's a lot of Denise Parkers in the world. And here's all of them, actually. You keep scrolling. And there's one in Belton, Texas. There's one in New Braunfels. Well, it's probably the top one. So that's why we showed that one first. But if you're not sure, you have all of their addresses, all their phone numbers, rather. You can just call all of them until you find the right one. So basically, on the LLC side, now we have this Newbie Realty LLC. And if you look that up on the county, you'd see that there was an associated officer named Mitchell Newby. Again, now we can show you every single person named Mitchell Newby in the U.S., and then you have also their phone number, so you could call them, see which one's actually associated with the property. So that's what we've been able to do to help close that 33% gap. And Lee's got a question, but I wanted you guys to know, and their relatives are over here on the right as well, if you find a dead end, right? So Lee, what was your question?
Can you go back to the flowchart?
Yes, the flowchart from Uncle Carl? Oh, yeah, he wants to know what that is. But you don't need that because you got the unlimited contact info now. It was a pretty cool flowchart, I have to say. This was credit to Uncle Carl as well, so on his YouTube channel. So, want to leave you with the final thought. You know, which are you going to be? An early adopter for the competitive advantage? Or are you going to ignore it until you have to figure it out? So those early people who got into texting before it went too crazy and actually got, you know, stifled down by the phone companies, they're the ones who got the most deals because they jumped on it early before it became saturated. So just to leave you with that final thought, if you guys wanted a special bonus for being here, we've got the QR code, and I'll open it up for more questions. And then also, we could just jump right into looking up somebody's commercial property, too, if you guys want. If anyone has a property they want to go say, hey, look me up, see if I'm actually accurate in your system, happy to do that. So either way. Yes, you in the back? Oh, did you have a question? Oh, okay, no questions.
Commercial. Let's see some commercial stuff.
Sure, yeah. If anybody's got a specific property they want me to look up, just shout it out or come up here and we'll look through it.
If you're coming in cold, how would you look up commercial properties to see what
happens? Good question. So if you're coming in cold, how would you look up commercial properties? So first of all, I'd go to Indianapolis because that's where I like to invest, and it's going to load all the properties there. While it's doing that, I... Oh, yeah? How does it, what's that, what is the name again?
DuPage,
D-U-P-A-G-E. D-U-P-A-G-E.
Okay. D-U-P-A-G-E,
county. I love it. The stakes are high. Hang on, it's not even loading. Might have to navigate there. I wonder why that's, did I spell it right? Okay, DuPage County.
Black hole.
Yeah, it doesn't even come up. Here, let me navigate to it over here. It's by Chicago, he says. So you can look up unlimited amounts of people with like the 119 plan. If you were to export, which you don't really need to now that you can dial in here, if you were to export, that plan would have a limit of like 10,000 exports per month, which would cost you $1,000 to skip trace and export somewhere else, but you get that included in your 119 per month plan. Does that make sense? So we just have export limits if you're taking the data and going somewhere else with it, but you can look up unlimited amount of properties in the app.
And then what about whether that prospect is deceased or not, can be able to see that?
There is a deceased flag, I believe, and I will show you that when I dig into somebody in DuPage County, hopefully.
Yeah, you're there, go west of Chicago.
Okay. Okay. There's St. Charles. Is it there?
St. Charles is too far. It's too far west, yeah. Naperville is the most that you can actually go. If you go to Wheaton, it's the county seat.
Okay. Heard Naperville.
Wheaton, Glen Ellen, Oakwood, down the shore, Lyle.
It's in, Wheaton is north of Naperville.
Wheaton is north of Naperville. All right, cool. Let me hone in on a property here real quick just to give a quick spot check.
Tell them how it shows the properties on the lower left.
So it does show the number of properties, that 6,269 down here in the viewing area. And so here's a random one, Fremont Street, Naperville. Looks like a single-family house. Owned by a trust, Jeffrey and Rubino. And so here's Robert Rubino. He's 27 years old. Damn, this guy's doing well in life. He's single. He owns five properties, and these are all the five properties. And this is his phone number, two landlines, actually. He's had some college. He's got a net asset value of $200,000. So maybe dad gave him some money. I'm not sure. Here's his dad, I would guess, 58 years old. And this is the dad's wireless number, emails as well. He's in finance. So do you guys want to see a specific property?
Actually, we were looking for commercial property.
Oh, yes, okay. Well, hold on. I'm going to do commercial property. So do you mean like a storefront property?
Five
units and up or something like that.
Yeah,
okay, cool. So I'm going to go to the more filters, and I'm going to do unit count. So we got two options here. I'm going to do the first one is greater than four units. 452 properties are in this list. Well, it's greater than four, so that would be five and up. Sorry, say that again. It is, yes. So,
but you could select a particular town or something.
Yes. So I might be able to select.
No, you're doing fine.
Oh, thank you. I don't know why the counties usually come up, so but I could do Naperville. Naperville, Illinois. Oh no, it changed right before I clicked it. Steve with yellow backpack. So now I've zoomed out to Naperville. It's loading how many commercial properties are over there with five or more units. Somebody have a question? It's loading. Okay, 1,400 properties. So let me build this list. So I'm going to build the list. It's going to bring all these properties into my account. And once it gets going, it'll take 3 seconds. You can see the progress going in a second down below. Thank you. I love it. All right, so now it's building the list. There you go. Almost done. Yeah, we like it accurate. So let's pull up one of these properties and love it. Yes, please move to the front. So this one is. Unit condo. So this is the specific unit. So let's filter out condos. So even though we already built our list, we can remove the condos. So let me do that real quick. Yeah. All right. So property type would not be condo. Is not any of condo. There you go. Yeah, so you got HOA. You don't want an HOA, right? Part of HOA is no. I'll do that also. So we'll add both of those filters. Now we got it filtered down to 363. So now what is this? There you go. So this is owned by SAS Naperville LLC. Unfortunately, I don't know if it got the... if it got the owner on that one. And also, this is new, so we might not have actually crawled Naperville. Oh, man, it doesn't look like it did. Naperville National Bank, Christina Bernstein, owns, let's see. Paul and Christina Bernstein are the likely owners there. So we could just, let's just call them up. Let's see what happens. It looks like a multi-unit. Oh, wait, guys.
You have reached Chrissy Bernstein and your things. Please leave a message at the tone and I'll return your call as soon as I can. Have a great day.
Okay, so just left a voicemail. Said left voicemail. And it left a note saying, I called her regarding her property, requested a call back. So this is what it said in Lee's voice still, because I never retrained it.
Hello, my name is David. I know this call is completely out of the blue. I was calling about your home at 313 Center Street. Wanted to see if you would consider an offer on your property. I completely understand if you have no interest right now, but if you can give me a call back.
We won't play the whole thing, but that's what it did for me, so that's fantastic.
Okay, so if she calls you back, you get a deal, you got a completely answer.
I'll call him back because his voice worked magic for me. So yeah, the LLC data, we just got another level and we're currently kind of matching up the whole country. I don't know if yes?
You could have changed that message to say property is to home if you call it commercial.
Yeah, so you could change it to say property instead of home by going over here to your personal settings and go to the dialer settings. And then the Alma AI voicemail script, you could say, see how it says home? I could say property. Your property at blank. So, very good point. So, nope. No. It always inserts the property's actual address and the owner's name. Yeah. Well, I'll retrain it to my voice after this session. But yeah, it would say it in whoever's voice it was trained as. That's the great part is it's personalized for every time you leave a voicemail like that. So. Yeah, that sounds awesome. Let me do another edition of this real quick in Indianapolis because I'm pretty sure we had matched more there because it's a process going through all the properties. And this is one thing that we're coming out with in November to help close the gap further on these corporate owners. So let me go to property type and let's see if there is just on accident. Yeah, I'm giving you a scoop on accident. So this is downtown Indianapolis. There is an $86 million property, a $3 million property. DMC Capital, it's not giving you the answer. Was there another question that somebody wanted me to try and tackle? Yes. Yeah, so we actually have a lot of YouTube videos, but we also have office hours four times a week. So it's Tuesday at 1, Wednesday at 1, Thursday at 11, Friday at 2. So if you have questions about Deal Machine, you can join this. There's not that many people on it, and there's people from our team that can help answer your questions in like a small group setting as well, if you had questions on that. Yeah. Yeah, so the data, it's like our secret sauce right now. Like nobody has this file, and I would love to show you some more about that. So can't tell you about like how we're able to get that and provide that because it is very much our secret sauce. But it's updated very frequently, I would say at least every 3 months for tenants even because I have 19 rental properties, and when somebody started receiving mail at one of my rental properties, they show up as a tenant. And as somebody, and I'll show you here, on my these are my properties that I own. So let me open up my specific properties, owned properties, all right? So somebody was, let me clear this filter as well. So somebody was not paying on my property, and I'm pretty sure they were scamming. They'd use like a different identity, but I was able to evict the right person because I had the info here on who's likely renting my property, right? And my lease is not with Esther Barker, but I was able to properly name them on the eviction hearing because I could tell they registered to receive mail at my property. So that way they couldn't skirt around, well, oh, he didn't evict me, he evicted the other person's name. You know what I'm saying? So, and I watched now on my new property, so I got new tenants, and the tenant would pop up maybe like 2 months after living there. So we take updates every day, but how long it takes to realize like somebody's receiving mail here, that's getting forwarded on and then passed through. So hopefully that's a helpful, good, honest thing. And Esther was a random person. I don't think this was the property I had issues with. Yeah.
So
got 5 minutes left. Just got the flag here. Yeah, there's a foreclosure filter on here as well. So there's three foreclosure statuses. So if you were on the map.
And how often is that data updated? Because those files happen.
Right. So for the county level data, I can talk about that because that's pretty much a commodity at this point. And pretty much the best place to get that is like First American Title Company. So they are the ones who actually do a lot of the transactions themselves. But then they also have compiled the 3,000 counties, and they sell that for $300,000. You get daily updates on that. So that's where that comes from.
Yeah, I paid for a service like that for like 30 years. I just stopped in
2000. Okay. Nice. Yeah, so I mean, obviously we're buying the whole world of that data, but if you're buying it at a smaller level, you could get that through Deal Machine, et cetera, for including the subscription costs. Yes. Yes, if you wanted to import data that they got from the county, you could definitely do that. And let's see, how do you do that? Go over to the leads view, and then you'll go to add leads, and import a list. So then you upload a spreadsheet, and it'll have you match the columns with this is the address, this is the city, this is the state, et cetera. So that's how you'd import a list of properties. Yes? So the AI will not make a phone call itself. We've designed the dialer to be like the best human-to-human interaction experience for them and you as possible. It will leave the voicemail, but we do not have it to have a full conversation for you at this time. Maybe when the AI, and it's rapidly improving, but when that rapidly, it gets to a point that it's better, we'll do that. We have to wrap it up. I'm getting the wrap-up signal, but I'm going to get you back here, sir. I know you had your hand raised. Now you're looking down. And you're wearing a black coat? Yeah, I wanted to get you as the last question. With a Spanish name? Oh, yes. Check this out. So just to wrap things up, we can filter properties in Indianapolis by the language that they speak. That's how badass the data is. This is a perfect. Yeah, no, I'm gonna try it out. Here, I'm gonna try it out real quick. So I have 76,000 properties. Let me filter it by contact language preference. Check this out. So we're gonna do Spanish, and let's filter my 76,000 leads by somebody who prefers Spanish. I bet they have a Spanish name as well. So this is the type of data that you can't get elsewhere. This is all the contacts, right? So we got Alejandro and Ismail. Let's try Alejandro real quick. And this will be the end of my session.